On Thursday, Pope Benedict's visit to the American capital continued with three key events. The first, a mass at the new National Stadium, inaugurated just over a month ago by President George Bush himself. Later in the day, the Pope was due to meet with several hundred heads of Catholic schools and universities from across the country at the Catholic University of America. And finally, he was scheduled to hold an interfaith encounter with representatives of other religions at the nearby John Paul II Cultural Center.
I continue to be positive and very hopeful about the ecumenical and interreligious dialogues.
As head of the Bishop's Committee for Ecumenical and Interfaith Relations, Bishop Richard Skelba has been looking forward to this meeting, during which he will introduce members of the other faith communities to the Holy Father.
The five groups whose representatives will be presented to the Holy Father are the members from the Jewish community, national leaders, various groups from the Jewish communities of the country, Muslim groups, the Hindu, Buddhist, and Jain communities. Those five will have special prominence in being presented to the Holy Father.
I know there was some kind of difficulty with the Sikh community, wasn't there, and their
Yes.
ceremonial daggers. Can you just fill in the details there for us?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. We were genuinely saddened when it became clear that the U.S. security forces were unwilling to allow the Sikhs to come into the Holy Father's presence wearing their religious symbol of dagger. For them, it's a commitment to fight against oppression and injustice, so they did not feel in any way they could put that aside. We were hoping to have them as one of the five groups, we the Catholic Bishops Conference, but respectfully, when the security folks wouldn't allow it, they withdrew, and so the Jain community entered in as a substitute, if you will, but a happy substitute because the Jain community is celebrating their 2500th anniversary and are themselves committed to peace in the world. So it's a very happy substitute.
These meetings on the papal itineraries are not really an occasion for any in-depth dialogue, but they are important moments, aren't they, confirming the Church's attitude towards other faiths?
They are very important. The guests present are limited because of space, but they are especially important because it shows an ongoing commitment to Nostra Aetate and to the Vatican Council's decree on ecumenism, and also gives our own Holy Father Benedict XVI an opportunity to talk about his vision as to how interreligious conversation, ecumenical cooperation, can work together for greater peace in the world. I think it's a sidebar and an important exemplification of what he wants to say when he comes and speaks to the United Nations as well. It's all of one fabric.
What do you expect to be the main points that he wishes to get across?
Well, one doesn't know what his message will be. I am confident that the basic commitment, common commitment of cooperation through dialogue and harmony through dialogue will be a theme that will come through. He is, our own Benedict is so well respected for his concern for human dignity and also religious liberty that I'm sure those will be reiterated in a strong fashion. And I also suspect, without knowing the text, that he will speak about the importance of the role of religion in public discourse, not in a respectful, pluralistic society.
America is indeed a very religious society in many ways, a society of great faith in the public square. One of the Pope's concerns, though, is a rather pluralistic vision of faith. In other words, one religion is as good as another and a person can choose or chop and change. Do you think he may address this particular challenge?
Well, we all know that he has been concerned about this notion of relativism, the tyranny of relativism, so I expect he will address that. And as a matter of fact, when you have a society as we do, similar to the British Isles and other Commonwealth countries with the same tradition. When we have this kind of society, there is the recognition of the importance of faith, but also a separation between church and state in order to give freedom to religion. There is a danger of that kind of relativism, especially when we have moved into a stance of seeking ecumenical cooperation. I always like to say that the work of ecumenism, if we can move to that field for a moment more specifically, is a quest for truth in charity. So it's not simply politeness and cooperation. It's a common concern for seeking the truth and allowing the fullness of the truth to claim us in our lives and our activities. That's also true in terms of interreligious dialogue, I'm sure. But relativism and everything is equally valid and equally important is a subtext of a challenge for us.
It is, of course, four decades since those documents, since the Second Vatican Council, Nostra Aetate, and so on, and many people have somehow grown a little disillusioned that the enthusiasm that surrounded the ecumenical and indeed the interfaith movement some years ago has somehow cooled off. How do you answer those kind of concerns?
Well, I hear it, as you might guess. I hear it not frequently, but especially those who've been in the work on a popular level for a long time. They don't sense the immediate movement forward, but because I co-chair our National Lutheran Catholic Dialogue, and because I am a member of the American Bishops Committee dialogue with the Orthodox bishops, I know that substantial progress continues to be made in the area of the theological dialogues, so that we take an issue and work with it until we have clear common understanding of what we share and where the edges of our differences may be, and we have the opportunity then to determine whether those differences are church dividing or not. I see constant progress. In a sense, this may be a bit over-optimistic, but it's like a train that's beginning to come close to the station, the goal. It always slows down to make sure it arrives at the right spot. That's the image I like to invoke. We're beyond the initial hail and hearty, sharing tea and getting to know each other. Now we're moving toward those more serious, substantial issues and trying to understand them and to appreciate each other's perspective. I continue to be positive and very hopeful about the ecumenical and interreligious dialogues.
One of the areas we haven't mentioned is that of the Muslim-Christian relationship, a relationship, of course, which is facing many challenges, and Pope Benedict has touched on these head-on, as it were. Tell us a little bit about the dialogue there in the United States and how important it is for you and your brother bishops today.
In terms of our relationship to the Islamic community spread across the country, we have three regional dialogues, as you might guess, East Coast, Midwest, and West Coast. They have gathered around certain topics of mutual interest and concern, such as revelation, theologically trying to explore our mutual notions, experiences of revelation, where they differ, where they are common. Also, the dialogues have addressed the question of interreligious marriages, both the difficulties that they pose, but also the need to be somehow helpful when those exist in a society like our own. The 9/11 attacks, they certainly occasioned, on the one hand, some antagonism that I think was often misplaced and sometimes ignorant antagonism. At the same time, there was an occasion for a rally of support from neighbors who know the individuals who are fine Islamic families. And so that is a bit of a neuralgic point that's nationally. Nevertheless, theologically, the occasion for addressing the question of a militant religious tradition that embraces violence is something that all our traditions need to condemn. And I think in our efforts to sort out our history and heal some long-standing wounds, we have a challenge on that score as well.
And my thanks there to Bishop Richard Skelber, Auxiliary of Milwaukee and head of the U.S. Bishops' Committee for Ecumenical and Interfaith Relations.